while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
So greetings to you here in the sanctuary. It's so wonderful to be in his house this morning and to be amongst family and family. really thankful. And I also greet you if you're listening online via our social media channels as well. And I really have to give God thanks. You know, I really have to thank him for his grace and his mercies. I'm really honoured to bring you the message today. And thank you to Sister Babs, Auntie Babs, and the worship team for just ministering to us. It's been so powerful in his presence today. So, as was mentioned, our theme for today is simply, who am I now? Who are you now? So, as I said, it's a simple question, but at the same time, it could be quite a big one, a complex one, if we let it. So, this question of identity. So, for instance, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, which reminds me, actually, of International Women's Day last Wednesday. Yes. I think the hashtag was hashtag IWD2023, if you're on social media. You would have seen lots of posts with inspirational women. I received a few messages on WhatsApp with the Proverbs, is it 30:31? A woman who fears the Lord is greatly to be praised. But yes, men, don't worry, Father's Day is in June. and I think there is actually an International Men's Day in November, so we've got you as well. But I digress. back to this question of identity. So as I said, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, and I could go on. I could talk about my personality, my likes and my dislikes. And, you know, did I start out like this? No. You know, I've kind of grown into the Louise of today over time. But, you know, looking at this sort of explanation of identity, which focuses on so many different aspects of who we are and the different roles we have, doesn't actually give us a single unified truth as to who we are. The truth about who we are now as Christians is found in the Word of God. Hallelujah. And as our main scripture for today highlights, we are a new creation. And thank you, Charlene, for reading the main scripture. Please do have it open in your Bibles. I just encourage you to have it open as we journey together today, as I'll be referring back to it. And my prayer is that as we journey through this short time together, that God will speak to us about some of the questions we have for him on our Christian walk. Amen? Okay, so the main part of the text that I will be focusing on is, you know, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. When preparing for this sermon, there were some questions that I reflected on, and I just wanted to share them with you as I go into this. So some of the things that kind of came to me is, what does it mean to be a new creation? What does being a new creation in Christ look like? And what does it mean about how we treat others and how we respond to others, both Christians and people in the world as well? To give some context of the 2 Corinthians and the book of Corinthians in general, it's basically Paul's letters to the church in Corinth. And we understand from reading some of the verses that the church really has some big, big problems, including division, sexual immorality, and greed. And Paul really seeks to address some of these things. You know, he founded that church, he went away, and he's hearing about all of these issues. And so in this book of Corinthians, he wants to correct them and encourage them and remind them to walk in line with Jesus, his ministry, and also to remind them that they can be set free from sin because Jesus is alive. And we know it, right? We all know this. Jesus came to set us free. He died for all our sins and was crucified on a cross and resurrected after 3 days. And in a few weeks, 4 weeks, 3 weeks, we'll be celebrating Resurrection Sunday, you know? Verse 14 and 15 of our text says, "For Christ's love compels us." Thank you, media team. I'll read. "For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." And as our sermon theme notes mention, as a child of God, when we become a Christian, we acknowledge that we're forgiven and we're redeemed through him who died. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there, guys. We no longer live for ourselves, but for him who was raised again. I'm reminded of Jesus' words to his disciples in Matthew 16, where he says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Hallelujah. So the first point I want to note is entering into this new creation in Christ means your life is set to change. It's set to change. You will find life. You know, during this sermon, and I've kind of put it in here, I reflected on the start of my Christian journey. You know, it's interesting, we're having baptism classes on the 23rd of March, and, you know, if God is really calling you and speaking to you to do it, just do it. Your life will change, you know. And when I was starting out, I had a real desire to follow Jesus. I was saying to some family yesterday that I used to live on Wide Way, 114. And, you know, something just said, just come. I was at university. It was before I met Tunde, as I said yesterday. And, you know, I just came and I'd sit at the back and walk out. But after a while, I started kind of getting to know people. And I started the Alpha course. And one of the questions to my then pastor then, before I was saved, was, "Will I still be able to enjoy myself? Because you know me, I like to party." You know, and I had a real, like, wrong perspective, actually, about Christianity and about Christ. And I had this fear that I would stop being able to enjoy myself. And so there was a question mark. Auntie Pauline, you mentioned, have you got the question mark? You know, should I? And do I still go to parties 15 years later? Yes, but certainly not the type of parties that I was going to with the intentions that I was going to those parties with, if you can hear what I'm saying. And 15 plus years later, I mean, we just sang the goodness of God. You know, I have witnessed God's miracles. I've seen him move some mountains that, you know, things that were meant to stop me, he's used for his glory. Prayers answered in every valley. And there are valleys in this walk, church. There are valleys. But he will never leave us nor forsake us. And I've seen his deliverance. I've seen his healing. You've been part of that story. And I could go on, as I'm sure many of us can testify to what Christ has done in our lives when we've accepted him, when we've walked, made that choice to walk alongside him. how giving our lives to Jesus is the best thing you could ever do. You know that song? Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Thank you. We can stop there. I'm not a singer, a big singer. Well, I can make a joyful sound, but you know. Okay, so the change and transformation that takes place when you enter the new creation that he calls us into really confirms the truth of his word, especially when we read about all of his promises. You know, that promise that he will give us life and life to the full, abundant life. So the questions for you and for me today are, have you fully walked into the new creation that Christ has called you into? Are you still living in that old way? Or even if you're not living in the old way, in the old way of thinking and old habits? And are you ever tempted to slip back, to go back into the old ways, the desires of the flesh? Hard questions. Media team, can we bring up the scripture that we had from Galatians? Maybe we could read this together. So it's Galatians 5, 19 to 26, and we've got it up here. And I'm reading from the NIV version. Yeah, that's the same one, okay. So the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Amen. So, if you're living in the old ways, still holding on to that old stuff, living for some of the things of the flesh, God wants you to put that down. He wants you to move into the new life and the new creation he has called you into. Listen, we all fall short of his glory. We all fall short of his glory. And when this happens, you know, we have to repent, we have to turn back to God. Often when we think about who we are in Christ, we do look back, I just did it, right? But it's important that we don't stay there or we don't fall back there, back into those old habits. It's very important to surround ourselves with people in Christ who can lift us up, people we can become accountable to and share our trials and temptations with, such as our pastor and leaders in the church. You know, reflecting on this, it came to me that following Christ is a daily decision. It's something we do daily. And this isn't in our own strength, but by his grace and through yielding to the Holy Spirit. Through the leading of the Spirit, through time in worship, prayer, fasting, reading and meditating on the word, fellowship with other Christians, things will be revealed to you about who you are in Christ and how, as Christians, we need to be his salt and light in our day-to-day. And as you seek him and his righteousness, watch your desires, your habits, your thoughts, hallelujah, even down to the words that you use, the company you keep, how you spend your time. These things will align with, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. And we need to keep in mind that when we are in Christ, we are brand new. You know, when something is new, right, it's not like, just trying to think of an analogy here. So I have a 16th month-year-old, Ethan. And whenever he's playing with toys or like he's upset and you want to kind of like comfort him, we give him like a toy, preferably one that makes a noise. And he'll just, you know, drop what he has in his hand and grab the new toy that you give him. And there's that sense of like joy and excitement, you know, of him just receiving this new thing, this new gift. Imagine that's how God sees us when we walk with him, when we choose him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Talking of royalty, look at King Charles. You know, he hasn't even had the coronation yet, but we're calling him King Charles. When is the coronation? It's the 6th of May. The 8th is the bank holiday. Yes. But, you know, he's already walking in that kind of like, he knows he's the king, right? He's walking in that royal presence. Are we walking with that knowledge that we are, you know, a royal priesthood? One of the other things I reflected on is our perspective on God, as I truly believe, well, I've seen this in, you know, personally, that when we have the right understanding of who God is, it affects our walk with him, if that makes sense. Verse 16 of our text says, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." You know, I work in an industry that is so far away from the church, it's not even funny. And so I work in the media industry. I'll just leave it there. Could go on about that. But, you know, in conversations, I see it at work. There's this perspective that Christianity is inaccessible. It's not for, people are thinking, Christianity isn't for me. Why would God love me with the things that I'm doing in my life? It exists out there. But we know that Jesus asks us to come how we are. Thank you, media team. Thank you. You know, he came to bring sinners to repentance. He came to seek and save the lost. And even if you are a believer, it's so easy to think that Christ is going to just answer the big prosperity, quote unquote prosperity, prayers. You know? The prayers that say, "I deserve a big house, a big car, you know, a big bank account, etc., etc., etc." And it's not to say that God doesn't give us the desires of our hearts. Of course he does. You know, it's okay to want some of these things, and even to be a rich Christian. That is okay. It's just, it cannot be our sole reason for following him. And funny enough, you know, he doesn't give us what we want. He actually gives us what we need. We need to be aligned with his will, his word, and his way. God is not a genie. He is the maker of heaven and earth. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Prince of Peace. Third point on slightly misguided perspectives of God is that I can only seek God for the I just talked about the big things, but I'm talking about it a different way now. But I mean in terms of, like, you know, the big prayers, world peace, etc., etc., the things that are, you know, really big to pray for. And forgetting that he's with us in the details, that he cares about the things that concern you, that is in your heart, on your mind. You know, this perspective can pull us into doing things in our own strength and not waiting on him. Manuela preached a couple of weeks ago on this, you know, about being still and just giving God everything and not striving in your own strength. A little testimony on this. Last Monday, I woke up a bit anxious about the day ahead. The night before, I looked at my calendar, and you know when you look at your calendar and it's like, block meeting, 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 like the whole day is just a list of meetings. And one of the things that I'm learning to do is give God my schedule and my to-do list. You know, I pray about everything and stuff, but like, I want him to be with me, like, in the moments, in every moment of every day, and I want to seek him in every moment of every day. And so I just said, God, like, I don't know, I had a busy day, you know, pickups, children, some things to do for church, and it just felt too much. And so I just said, Lord, I give you my to-do list. And lo and behold, dropped the kids, sat in front of my laptop, and had a meeting, and then my boss messaged me and was like, oh, Lou, can we move the meeting for today to another day? And then another person was like, oh, can we cancel that meeting because, you know, da, da, da. And I went from having like an hour gap to having a 5-hour gap in my calendar. And I just give God thanks. I really give him thanks. And I just encourage us to let him, seek him in, obviously in the morning and devotion, but also bring him into your day. It's important that we understand and recognize that when we are a new creation, as much as we have Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we have a faithful friend who leads us, and we can put any and everything into his hands, knowing that he will see us through. Verses 18 and 19 of our text say, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So the other side to this is how we regard others. Well, we love because God first loved us, and so we have a calling to really be concerned for others, as I mentioned at the start, those in and those outside of the church. We have a duty to walk in joy, to lift up, encourage, pray for, even sometimes rebuke in love. Pastor Deji talked last week about righteous anger. You know, that's one of the ways we should be moved as we walk in this new creation, to get justice for those who have the right to it. You know, someone once said, do you realize you are the only version of Jesus that some people see? And it's so easy to just think about the people that we work with, but actually, this also applies to family, to friends, to neighbours, to people that you sit with on the bus and the train. We must walk in love, but also share our faith, letting others know that through Christ's death, he brought harmony to our relationship with God. Reconciliation. with God. And we should share our story as we receive from God and share it cheerfully. So remember our theme title, Who Am I Now? Who Are We Now? Verses 20 to 21 sum it up well. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. Oh, that's not the right verse. Sorry. Oh, yeah, sorry. It is. Sorry. Oh, long night. Okay. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that we in him might become the righteousness of God. Amen. So in conclusion, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage us all. I want to encourage us to walk or to continue walking in the new creation we have been called into in Christ. Have you been seeking to follow God in the way he has called you to, but there is one thing holding you back? Know that God is not done with you. He loves you. As I said, we're family. Lean on pastor, the leaders. We have prayer after the service. Know that your overcoming can be a testimony, your testimony, to save others, to bring them to seek Christ. Or have you been walking in this new creation in Christ for a while? Do people often comment on how patient you are, how kind you are? Are you known for your ability to listen to others, to the needs of others? I could go on. What I want to say to you is continue. Continue with confidence in your witness, walking in the new creation in which you have been called. Walk in confidence that through your gentleness, through your kindness, through how you serve, through how you respond to what is happening around you, being a new creation is the realization that we have direct access to the Father, not only on earth, but eternally. With this knowledge and with the right perspective on who God is, according to his word, we can have the assurance and confidence in the newness of our Christian walk, following his example and seeking him concerning all things, and trusting his will to be done in and through us. In Jesus' name.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.